find out which pill that is dries my throat out.
Are you hiding pills like your mom?
I'm gonna start hiding them.
She's been not swallowing her pills sometime. I found two in her tissue box, but they got wise to that she wasn't swallowing, so now they crush them up. Yes.
They were doing mama's like that, but mama was trying to hide it.
Oh, she just plain out was hiding hers. Her mom did say. And, yeah, I found two in the tissue box the other day, but they just started crushing them before I found them. And you can tell they had been in her mouth. They had the teeth marks on them almost. She's giving them a bit right now. She's getting up all the time by herself.
Righty. Let's turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 3. Start reading with verse 1. This right here is the first miracle that was performed after the Pentecost. After Peter preached at Pentecost, and this was the first miracle recorded. But it says this, says in verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask aim of them that enter into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an aim, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at the aim at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. The beggar, we're going to be speaking about the beggar tonight. We're having a whole lot of people out here really is begging today. They're begging for the truth. But yet they're not getting the truth. Now, my prayer is that that's the only thing that I stand on. That's the only thing that I preach on is the truth. And if it hurts the people, then it also hurts God because they're not standing for Him. Now, we know that also that Peter and John right here was individuals that loved God. And we know that in the book, and back in chapter 2, that Peter preached at the day of Pentecost. And there was thousands of people that were saved. But see, Peter wasn't the only one there doing it preaching. There was other individuals there also preaching to their people until the people that understood them speaking to them. Because, see, Peter could probably speak in all the languages, but he didn't have the time to, because he just wanted to preach Christ. He wanted to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He wanted to preach about how to get saved, and he wanted to preach about that. But he also, it was other preachers there. It was interpreting him. And what he preached wasn't what somebody else over here was preaching, something else besides what he was preaching. No, they were just interpreting what Peter was preaching. Because, see, Peter was the main preacher, or the main one that was on the spot that day to preach the Word of God. Now, that's the same way with me. I'm supposed to be down here. I'm just a servant of the Lord. And I'm supposed to preach what He lays on my heart. Hey, I'm supposed to preach what He gives me to preach. And I cannot preach any other thing but the truth. Because if I preach anything, and it's of God, it's nothing but the truth. It's nothing but the truth. And I wonder why they use that in the courthouses. When they take someone to court and everything, and they say, raise your right hand and repeat after me, and they talking about the truth. But have you ever noticed something, though? Today, they don't have nobody up there, the individual that is giving out the oath or whatever. They don't have a Bible. I remember at a time in my lifetime, this was before I got saved, I can remember at times, even on TV and even in life itself, when you went and you stood, or you was up in a box and everything, and you was going to give a testimony, and you were going to testify for the individual or testify against him or whatever. But before you did, you had to swear. You had to lay your left hand on the Bible, and you had to raise your right hand, and you had to swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. They don't do that no more. They don't even want to bring up God in courthouses anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. Thank the Lord that I don't have to worry about preaching about this and preaching about this and preaching about this. I ain't got to worry about preaching against the homosexuals. I ain't got to worry about preaching against the lesbian. I ain't got to worry about preaching against the gay rights and everything. I don't have to worry about that, because I'm obligated by God to preach it. I'm obligated by God to preach it. And I don't worry about it like I used to. There for 8 years. And I told y'all before that if God give it to me, I was going to preach it. And at the time when I said that, I was scared that Obama would happen to come in or send someone in. Hey, I was. But it won't change the fact that God was the control of my life. God is the overseer. God is the under-shepherd. And I am His under-shepherd here. But God, He is the Father of us all. And He wants to teach us to tell the truth. He wants to teach us in telling the truth. And how do we go about telling the truth? I believe it says right here in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask aim of them that entered into the temple. Right here, the first thing that Peter and John done, they prayed. They prayed. They prayed the power of God down on them, and they prayed that they was going to follow God's footsteps. That they was going to follow God's voice and what to say. Sometimes when God speaks to me, I don't like it. Because he brings up stuff in my life that I ain't forgot about. And yes, and we all forget about that, maybe a sin that we committed years ago. We haven't really asked God for forgiveness of it. But when God does, it is not because he is trying to bring chastisement to us. It's not the reason he's trying to break us down to follow him a little closer. You know the reason he does it? Because he's hurt. Because he's hurt. Every time I sin, every time that you sin, every time that anybody out here sins against God, it hurts God's heart. And I believe that's what Jesus is talking about there in the Gospels there when he says two words in one verse, the shortest verse in the Bible. And Jesus is saying this right here. And Jesus' word, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. What is he weeping over? He was weeping over the people. He was weeping over the sin of the world. It was just like over there with Moses at the Red Sea. Yes, he was trying to get away from Pharaoh. He was trying to get away from the army and his father and the people that loved God. Was trying to get away from Pharaoh and his army because he knew what Pharaoh was going to do. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that they were going to lose their life. Why? Because the men that was following Moses, they won't go back down. They won't go back down. And they run, and they run. They run for their life. Do you know where they run to? They run to the sea. I got to thinking about that. Why would they run to the sea? Why didn't they make a left turn or a right turn and go up by the sea or go up by the river there, down by the river, or go down by the ocean there? Because they knew if it went that way, they would finally be caught. They would be caught by Pharaoh. They'd be caught by the army that was going to kill them. Why was they going to kill them? Because they knew God. The same Israelites that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they was looking toward the promised land. And they wanted to get to the promised land. But when it got right close to the water, they looked. And they looked at Moses and they said, Moses, when is they coming? The chariots are coming over the hill and the men are running with the swords. Moses, what chance do we have now? And what he done was amazing. Moses walked down to the edge of the water and he took his staff and he raised it up and he raised up both his hands and he prayed out to God. He said, God, we've trusted you. Now, why is this going to come on us now? The enemy is awful close. And I know what they're going to do if they catch us. And God, you know what they're going to do too. God knew if they did happen to catch them, what they would do. But he prayed. He prayed just like Peter and just like John did right here. To where this lame individual, this individual that was born lame, this individual was born with the problems that he had. He prayed. And that's what all the people done. They prayed. And then Moses went on down a little closer to the water. And he got right at the edge of the water. He took that staff. Raised that staff back up. And he was waiting on God. And God spoke to him. And when God spoke to him, he took the staff and light that right in the water. When he did, completely dry, because when they come out on the other side, they won't complain about being wet. They won't complain about being mud on their feet. They won't complain about being so filthy. No. Why? Because God made them. The ground just said, is this what we're writing? Why? So his people could go through. Then here come the army. When Moses started, he told them, he said, y'all, come on. Come on. Let's get to the other side. See, Moses knew what was on the other side. Moses knew that if he got to the other side, that he was in the promised land. And he knew if he got to the other side, take care of him. We got to get to the other side. We got to get to the other side. We need to forget caring about me, myself, and I. I need to forget about myself. And I still need to start having more concern about the others there. See, with me, and getting in there just studying and praying and all of that, that don't bring about joy. That don't bring about joy in my heart. What brings the joy into my heart is Jesus. It's doing what Jesus wants me to do, right? Ain't that what you want? You want the same type of joy? Then you have to look to him. What's the next letter? The next letter is zero. O. Not a zero, but an O. What does that mean? Does it mean order? Does it mean obedience? No. What it means is others. We need to look at the other people that we come in contact with, that surrounds us. They're hurting. They want the truth, but they're not getting the truth. Some of them are getting a little of the truth, but it's been watered down. We don't need a watered down gospel. We need the gospel. We need it just like it says. If I've sinned, if I've done something wrong, Then if I'm, and if God wants me to preach on it, and if I get in the book, and I say, well, I don't know God, I can't, you know, that's kind of hitting a little home. I got to get in and preach it. Because it's talking about me. See, I will never help nobody else as long as I forget about, as long as I put the blame on somebody else and I don't take the blame. I have to take a whole lot of the blame for what's happening. Why? Because I'm a Baptist preacher. And a whole lot of these Baptist preachers today are watering down the truth. They're watering down the gospel. Yes, so many of them has went to the well. And Jesus went down and he took the bucket and he went down and he drawed up the water. The bucket of water. Well, what did he do with that water? Did he drink it? No. They put it down. They just washed himself. He didn't say, you wash yourself in this water and you won't have no more worries. No, he taking the water and swallowing. We must be taking the water in his spiritual water. We'll go out there and we'll give it to the people that are spiritually dead. But be a raised, they can rise up again. But the only way they can be raised is with the gospel. It's with the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. With the truth. Not something that's been watered down. Peter and John, they knew by prayer. They really did. And Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Gold, silver and gold have I none. But he just wants us to rise up. He wants to raise us up. He wants us to raise up from the comfort of them pews. Now thank the Lord. Now I do thank the Lord for the pews that God has so graciously given us. That they are padded. And we can sit there with comfort. We don't have to worry about if a back's going to be killing us. If our legs or anything else is going to hurt us or not. Because we're in the comfort of the pews. But sometimes I wonder if we haven't took that comfort not to heart but to our mind. So we should. If I can get in church and just sitting on, I feel so much better. No, shouldn't think that way. We should think, when we drive up on the parking lot here, and when we drive up, and say we should say to ourselves, just as soon as I walk through them doors, hallelujah, I know I'm going to feel better, because I know the presence of God is going to be right there. And I know the presence of God walks with us and talks with us every day. But the thing about it is, within a group of people, with a body of people, that knows Jesus Christ.
We have.
Whew. We just don't see some one individual that maybe put on a smile and see a little joy in the face, or a little joy in the step, or when they stand and sing, and they have a little joy in their song, in their voice. No, we see that among everybody. See, it's not just for me. It's just not for me to come to church and come here and preach and receive all the blessings. It's not for that. Because what we need to realize, once we walk through the doors, we come through the doors, and we walk in, and we can forget about everything that's been passed of that week. Don't have to worry about what somebody said to us. Because somebody is saying, "How are you doing today? Did you have a good week?" The truth will set us free. And it'll set us free. Free indeed. Set us free for the fellowship that we can have among each other. You know, I've had some individuals, not here, not any of you, but I've had in the past to tell me, say, "Well, preacher, says, you know, what you say up there is good, but you're not giving me anything to live by. If that's the way you take it, then I'm sorry. God has already given you something to live by. And that's the Word of God. I'm supposed to be here to exalt you. I'm supposed to be here to build you up. The way you can go out here and tell somebody else, you just need to come on down to church. I know you say you've been promising to come down to church. You've been promising me. You've been promising other individuals. Say, you come. One day I'm coming. Why don't you make it this Sunday? Why don't you make it next week? You come. You come. And when you come, then you can feel something. You know that somebody has something for you. And we don't charge you anything. The church don't charge you nothing to come into the church. We don't charge nobody. I don't charge nobody nothing. I don't charge anybody for me to preach. But if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I told Brother Bill that, you know, I don't have no idea. I mean, I can't give you a price. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for what Jesus done for me at Calvary. Why? Because He loved me that much. And if it gets to the point that if our offering falls off, and if it falls to the point that we don't have enough to take in, then you have mine now. But I do appreciate what you give me. And I try my very best to put almost all of it back in. Some weeks I don't, because I got some bills come up too. But in saying that, I want to, since I did say it, and everything, and what I try to give and everything, I know they hear that if you've ever went back and you counted the money, that you've ever seen a check from me, you will never see a check that I'll write. The reason for that is because I had an individual one time went around the church and was telling the people in the church what certain people made and what certain people was giving. And she mentioned my name too, through somebody else, but they told me. From that day forward, a church will never see a check from me. I'm going to give, and I'm going to give my 10%. I'm going to give my 15. I'm going to give 20. I'm going to give. But they'll never see a check from me. Because I'm not going to take that check and record it. I'm not going to take that check and at the end of the year and claim it on taxes. To me, I don't think that's right, but that's me. But other people's got different ideas on that, and that's fine. Because I tell you, I know, besides being a Christian, the only other thing that I have is my testimony. And that's all any of us have when it comes right down to it. We have Jesus, yes. We know that we're saved. I know that I'm saved. But I also have a testimony. And I have to live up to that. That's one reason that I don't go around and I won't visit people that where it's just the lady or her husband there. I really don't particularly go in it like that, but I have in the past. But I will never go into a lady's house by myself. But you know yourself, as long as you've been in church, you know of preachers that has fallen. And I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. And that's my prayer for each one of you. That I know that you don't want to fall. You don't want to discredit God. Each one of you have a testimony. And I can see it. Some of you told me a little about it in testifying, but I know you've got more than that. Why? There's six of us here tonight. Besides me and my wife, there's four here. That right there is the greatest testimony of it all. And the one that you hear with all the other empty pews. But tonight, as I leave, yes, I'll leave tonight, and I'll go back home, and when I do, for the people that did not come out tonight, for the people, the many people that we've invited to come, and they haven't come, the pews are not supplying their presence. Do you think the empty pews right there is going to keep me from coming to church? You want me to tell you what? God gave me this church. God gave me you, the flock. And I'm supposed to take care of it. So there were some people right at first running the church down. I want to know, say, why in the world you keep going out there? Says you don't have but just a few people. I said, no, but them few people that I got, hallelujah, is a whole lot better than probably the 150 that you got. I said, but you know, I said, I'm right where God wants me at. If I leave from out there, I'm going to be a disobedient to God, and I'm going to be out of God's will. So, what I'd rather be, I'd rather be in God's will and knowing that that's what He wants me to do than for me to worry about a great big congregation. But when you got a great big congregation, you have troubles. You have problems. And I thank you tonight for coming. I really do. I thank each and every one of you for coming. But I want y'all to pray hard between now and Sunday and Monday and next week. Just pray that somebody will just come in and get saved. I want to see somebody come in and get saved. It's been a while. God is not out of the soul-saving business. He's not out of business. I think a whole lot of churches want to put Him out of business because of what they're doing. But He's not out of business. When we go out into the highways and the hedges and speak to people, we're doing it because God is He's the owner of the company. He is the owner of Faith Baptist Church. He is the owner of each and every one of our lives. And we must go and please the owner of the company. And I know today, I'm going to close with this, but I promise. But no, today, you don't hear many people anymore say that I'm going to go and I'm going to do my very best to honor supervisor and a superintendent and the owner of the company that I work for. You don't hear it anymore. What's the problem? What is the problem with that? The problem with that is they don't want to see church. They don't want you here on Wednesday night. They don't want me on Wednesday night. They don't want anything to be back Sunday morning. And I thank the Lord for Sister Mamie. That's a testimony. She has a testimony right there. And she wants to be in church. One of these days. And I had no idea when it's going to happen, but one of these days, God's going to say, Nancy, you're going to get ready. You're going to be in church all day Sunday. And you're going to be in church Sunday, Wednesday night, too. I said, you ain't going to have to worry about them down there because I already took care of them. And I took them by the neck and I said, hey, you're going to give her off.
Because she wants to be in church. And if you don't want to give her off, you're going to have to face me. They don't want to face God.
Amen. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I thank you for thy precious word, Father, that you give us tonight, Father. And Lord, and I thank you for the people that come out tonight. Father, these, I believe, there's some of your choice people on this side of eternity. Because, God, they want the desires of your heart. They want to see sinners saved. They want to see the church grow. And they want to see other Christians grow in the grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, they have to be special people. And I know they are special people. And, Lord, and I just pray that you'll answer the prayer request that they have belonging to hear. Father, I do not know what it is, but you do. I don't need to know what it is. The only one that needs to know about the prayer request and the burden upon the individual's heart is the individual. And as the individual has it, I believe they bring it to you. And they're looking and expecting you to do what you have brought forth in the past. Father, next week I pray you'll be with us, be with each and every individual who's going to be here that week, for all the visitors who's going to be here, for all the preachers that's going to be here, I pray that you'll speak to the heart. Save that one nearest eternity. Reclaim that one that is cold and indifferent and been backslidden on you, Lord. My prayer is that they'll come one night. And yes, the message will touch them in a way that they would end up on an altar. And Father, if they're saved, that they will not have to come for salvation, but they will come for forgiveness. And Lord, and I know that you have the power to forgive. And you will if they just come and ask. And Father, we're looking for a great week. We're expecting a great week. I know I'm going to have a wonderful time. And I love you tonight. And all the people says, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.